The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
John chapter 14. You want to grab the Bible in front of you, you can do that. It's in that Bible, it's page 875. John chapter 14 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also in me." Verse 15, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you an advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, and you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say, and my Father will love them, and we will come and we will make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the promises that we can find in your word. That you have promised that you would not leave us as orphans, you would not abandon us. You have promised that those that come to you and put their hope in you and trust in you and obey you would be guaranteed to have your presence with them wherever they go. May we be filled with your presence so that, as you promise, that we would be filled with hope and we would be filled with peace. May we not seek the peace that the world gives, because as you said, they can't give hope and the world can't give peace. But may we come to you and experience this love and hope and peace that comes through a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. This summer we're talking about living hope. We're talking about experiencing hope. And we're talking about being prepared to give the reason for the hope that we have. And as I was talking about last week, and we'll continue to talk about next week, that one of the ways we prepare ourselves to give hope is simply to make sure that we are experiencing hope ourselves. We can't go into the world and actually give something that we do not possess. And so even as we try to prepare you to go and give hope, we also need to prepare ourselves that we would breathe in deeply the hope and the peace in the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. That we are so full of hope that the world around us, the people around us, our own family, our own coworkers, our own friends, our own neighborhoods would see something inside of us and they would want to know, what is it about you that has such hope? That is the preparation that we are talking about, that we would receive hope. Hope is very important for us, and it actually comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes from what He's done for us in the past. It comes in the present, in the person of the Holy Spirit that resides within us, and it comes as we look forward to the future that we have in Jesus Christ. And so in all areas, in every season of our life, we receive hope from the same source. And so today I want to talk a little bit about the present hope that we have. In other words, how do we have hope for today in the present moment? And that's what we want to look at. As we look at the scriptures and we look at God's word, what I recognize here is that this is so unique. This is most of the other religions of the world are all focused on how do we draw closer to God? What do we need to do to get closer to God? But actually, that is not the primary message of our scripture. That is not the primary message of our Bible. We are not the ones that are seeking to have a relationship with God. In fact, the primary message of the scripture is about a relationship that God desires to have with us. You see how unique and how different that is? The scriptures teach us that it was God's desire to have a relationship with us. In fact, this is a love book about a holy God that is pursuing an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. The main theme of the scriptures is this: God's desire to be with us. He created us. He put us in a garden that He might be with them. And we see right in the beginning chapters, right in the beginning of Genesis with Adam and Eve, that God created them. He breathed life in them that they might walk and do life with Him. And so from the beginning, we recognize that our souls, the very nature of who we are, it is necessary because we are made to walk alongside in this world with Him. And so throughout the scripture story, it talks about how sin came in and broke that relationship, that it separated us so we weren't able to walk with Him, and we were thrown out of the garden because of sin, and humanity was in this struggle of this relationship, that death overwhelmed us, that because of sin, death came in, and death meant separation from life, life that God gives, that we were separated. And so the scriptures are a story about how God sought to redeem, to restore relationship with us, that we might again have life, that we might be able to do life with Him. That we would not go through this life alone. That we would be able to experience life in abundance, life to the fullest, because we do it with Him. This is a reason to have hope. Our hope, yes, is that Jesus Christ came and He paid for the penalty of our sins, that the death that we were meant to have, He took our place. But actually, that is only half the story. He came to restore and change our identity, that we would become in a relationship with Him, that we would restore something so that what? So we could then return to do life with Him. And so our hope has to not just be drawn from a past event of something that Jesus Christ did for us. Our hope is there, but it also has to be experienced and tasted today. Because hope that's coming in the future and hope that's based in the past, if it is not experienced in the reality of our life today by walking in the presence of our Father, then it is no good for us to give us hope in our moments today, in the dark times, in the deep waters that we face. Do you have hope? Psalm 23, all throughout the Psalms, all throughout scriptures, it's about how God is with people. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't be afraid because you are with me. As Courtney sang that song, that no matter what we're facing, that our hope comes not just because of what Jesus Christ has done, but it comes because He's with us in the present. He's with us in these moments. Psalm 139 talks about how God created you, knit you together, and made you unique, significant. We find our identity there. But the other part of the Psalm 139 that is so powerful for us is that not only were we knit together, created by Him by hand, but His presence is always with us. He examines us. He knows every detail about us. And He knows whether we're sitting down or we're standing up. He knows when we go far away, we can't escape His presence. We can't escape His Spirit. If I go up to the heavens, You're there. If I go down into the death, into the grave, You are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there Your hand is there to guide me. And Your strength will support me. Regardless of what we're facing today, we, as a follower of Jesus Christ, will not face it alone. We have hope. We have something that the world cannot offer. We may go through a similar trial. We may go through similar circumstances. We may face cancer, but we will not face it alone. We may face a storm, but we do not face it alone. We may face marital breakdown, but we will never be alone. And so we have reason to have hope. When the world asks, what is different about you? How do you look different? How do you feel different? How do you experience joy the way you're experiencing in your life today? What is so different? We need to reply, it is different for me. Not because it isn't hard. It is different for me, not that it isn't a challenge or it's difficult or that it isn't going to take my life. The difference is I am not alone. That is the message that we need deep inside of us, that resonates with us, that we may have hope. God's presence is available for those who belong to Him. We looked at Romans chapter 3 a little bit last week. How do we belong to Him? Well, it's those that put their hope in the person of Jesus Christ. Those that trust and put their hope in what He did on the cross covers the payment for their sin. And because we put our hope in Him, He gives inside of us His presence, His Holy Spirit, and breathes life into us. There's a really unique picture. I censored it for you, for PG audience, just so you will be okay with it. I didn't want to get in trouble. Michelangelo painted this picture in the Sistine Chapel of Adam and God. And as you look at this picture, as I looked at this picture, you'll notice something that really speaks actually to, I think, the condition of my heart and often the condition of the hearts of those I know around me. We see God leaning forward. We see His angels anticipating, looking at what's happening, looking at His creation. God stretched out fully with His fingers fully reached. But in that picture, you'll notice there's a gap. There's a gap between Adam's finger and there's a gap between God's finger. And it's in that gap that I think often we wonder where the presence of God is. Now look at the posture of Adam. Often I think this is the posture of my heart. I'm laid back. I'm not so sure. I'm not so convinced. And I think Scripture speaks to this, that it's actually up to me at this moment, that all Adam really has to do is just get unrelaxed and comfortable in his life and stretch out his finger towards God, and he would experience an intimate presence of God. But he seems kind of unimpressed, maybe not convinced, that this is actually something he wants. I think all too often in my heart, I wonder if that's not the case. Do I truly desire to experience the full presence of God in my life? have I reached out? Or am I expecting God to kind of go the whole way? Throughout Scripture, we see God does everything possible. He goes as far as He possibly can. He removes every barrier, every obstacle. He looked at our sin condition that separated us from Him so that we couldn't do life with Him, and He redeemed it. He fixed it to the person of Jesus Christ. He died in our place that we wouldn't have to experience death, that we could have life. But it is up to us, in our free will, in our freedom of choice, to reach out and experience the presence of God. I've heard a lot of people so often say, I wish God would just come and knock my feet off. You know, if He would just strike me with lightning, if He would just show up in some amazing way that I know He would exist. And He just, you know, I'm waiting for Him to interrupt my life in a dramatic way. But one thing we've learned about Scripture is that God does all the work necessary, but He leaves a gap. He leaves a gap for us to decide if we truly want to experience the life that He has for us. How about you? Where is your posture? Well, I was looking at how do we experience the presence of God. I think there's kind of different phases in our life. And I would say that sometimes to find His presence is, it's actually hard in the every ordinary day. You ever have this, just every ordinary day, nothing special going on? Sometimes it's actually really hard to find God on those days. So I was thinking about, why is that? What does Scripture teach us about those ordinary everyday things? And then I realized that in Isaiah chapter 53, when Isaiah is prophesying about the coming of Jesus, he says a few things about Him that's really quite interesting to me. He says this about Jesus in Isaiah 53. He had no beauty or majesty that would attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. Jesus came, He was despised, He was rejected by men, He was a man of sorrows, He was a guy that was familiar with suffering, He was like someone whom people would hide their faces from. No one esteemed Him. In fact, He's basically saying He was just an ordinary guy. He was a guy that was born an ordinary peasant birth, who grew up in a peasant family, who grew up learning how to use a hammer and the nails, and everyone around was waiting the Messiah. They were waiting for the picture that we just saw Michelangelo painted. They're waiting for Him to come on the clouds, waiting for Him to come like that. But Jesus came ordinarily. And they could not believe that this carpenter, this person, this Nazarene, this guy who they knew the parents of would be the Messiah, that He would be the one. He was just too ordinary. Is it possible that sometimes we are looking everywhere for God in the extraordinary, but He desires to show up in your life in the ordinary? I know sometimes we want Him to show up in the big rainbow, right? We want Him to show up in the lightning. We want Him to show up in the storm. We want Him to show up in the big dramatic way to get our attention. But throughout Scripture, we'll see that God shows up often in the still, in the quiet, in the small voice, in the ordinary things. It's kind of like, I was thinking about this. Have you ever had these books called Where is Waldo? You know, the Where's Waldo book, I get frustrated with them really fast. They start kind of easy. And so sometimes, you know, when you open the Where's Waldo book and you go to the first page, you know, it's not so hard to find the guy. But what's the thing about Where's Waldo is what makes him hard to find is he's actually ordinary. He looks like kind of like everybody else. The colors all blend together. And as I find, sometimes it's really, really easy to find. And then you'll flip the page and the next page, it's like, they must have made a mistake. He's not there. And it just takes amounts of concentration and time and energy. And sometimes you just grow weary and you forget it. Forget it. He is not on this page. But they promise. They guarantee it in the book somewhere in writing, I'm sure. He is on every page. You ever think of God like that? What we just read in His Word basically says this. He is on every page of your life. He's here. Some days, He's really easy to find. Some days it's not so hard and you can spot Him and you can see Him at work and you can hear Him and He just shows up and it's not that hard. But the next page of your life, you turn there and you're convinced He's nowhere to be found. He's missing. He's lost. He's gone. He can't be here. But He promises something in His Word, doesn't He? He's there. It takes maybe extra time. It takes a little effort. It takes some concentration. But He promises that He is present. Well, that's the ordinary. Ever find God, and I call them the rainbow days. Those are the awesome days. Those are the days when He's jumping off the page of the book. Those are great days. You know, you're looking for a sign, you're looking for something of God, and just bam, He's right there. I can't say this is true 100%, but I'll tell you what's true of my life. I find that the longer I followed Him, I started figuring that out. I have been following Him almost for 40 years now, 39 years. And when I was really young, it was like rainbow days all the time. It was just a lot of fun. He showed up. He did things all the time. I would pray and He would answer. I would, you know, the craziest things, and I was telling someone this week, and I just believe it's true. I remember, and I was a little kid, and I was looking for my hamster. You ever have those moments, you know, I lost my hamster. Actually, I lost 11 in the house. That was another story. We only found 4. But this was a different time. This was the mom before that happened. I lost her in the house. That's not a good day. And I looked everywhere and everywhere and everywhere. And I remember when I was just a little kid, I just knew that God could do things. And I remember just saying, God, He's got to show up behind this door. And I opened the door and bam, there's a hamster. And I was like so excited and jazzed that God found my hamster. But He did those things for me. It was amazing. I would pray and He would answer. But over the times, it's not every day's been like that ever since. But I call those rainbow days. There's times when I was a teenager when I know God spoke so clearly to me. I remember moments. I can have flashbacks of laying in my bed when I was 18 and reading God's Word and Proverbs. I can remember times when He spoke. I remember times when He called me into ministry. I have times in my life, rainbow days, when I know, when it's clear, crystal clear. And the good thing about rainbow days is they're meant to carry you. But God doesn't always give me rainbow days. Sometimes there's seasons and there's pages and pages and pages in my life and I'm trying to find them, but the rainbow days are the ones I look back to and I remember. I know God is present. I know He knows my name. I know He's real. And I chose to remember the rainbow days. When I can't find Him on this page, I remember what He looks like anyways. God often does that when we're new in relationship with Him. He establishes Himself in our life. And sometimes those times are to carry us through the times we're not so sure of. He did this to people and all throughout Scripture. When He would have a moment with them and He would have a covenant time with them. We need to have a covenant time and define the relationship. And I want a symbol. I want you to remember whether it was a pile of rocks. And for Noah, remember it was the rainbow in the sky. Noah, here's the deal. You're gone through a difficult time and I want you to make, I'm going to make a promise with you. This will never happen again. And this will be the sign. And so when Noah would go through life and he didn't have rainbow days and he didn't know if God was near, he would remember the sign. He remembered the time when God was real. He even did this with Abraham when he asked Abraham that the sign of his covenant would be circumcision. I am sure Abraham was thinking, but Noah got a rainbow. You know, I think it had to be a pretty rainbow day, even though it's not that kind that you want. Because God had to be very, very clear that day. Because I can't imagine him coming up with that on his own. So sometimes, I digress. Sometimes when God speaks, it's not all butterflies and rainbows, but it's clear. And sometimes it's conviction. Sometimes it's a humbling moment where we know he spoke, where he corrected us, where he disciplined us, where he brought us to our knees. But those can be rainbow days too, because we know that God knows us, that he cares, and that he speaks. And I'll be honest, a lot of my days are conviction days, because that's the role of the Holy Spirit. He loves to help me and correct me and guide me. And often I know he's alive and well and living within me because I can't go through a normal day. I can't sin like everybody else. I just can't go do my own thing. God corrects me, rebukes me, and I know that he is present. So they're not always good news, but it's clear. Sometimes it's finding his presence in the storm. You know, storms kind of play a double thing for me. We had a storm this last week, right? And I was in the building here, actually, having a meeting when the roof got ripped off. And in those times, you know, there was a lot of people here, and we were trying to find out how bad it was, and there was insulation flying everywhere, and people kind of running around, wondering what to do, and getting everyone organized. But it was very clear that God was present. That God protected everybody in the building. That God was here. That God was guiding us. That God was in our midst. It was just very, very clear. And sometimes storms are like that. In fact, sometimes he creates storms or he allows storms in our life that we would seek him. That we would find him. That we would chase after him. That we would run to him as refuge. But sometimes, I gotta admit, sometimes there's storms that come. And it's a page of our life that we don't want, we don't like, we didn't ask for it. And it's very hard to find what God's up to. The whole book of Job is a great book to read if you're going through a difficult time. God creates and allows a storm to come into Job's life that takes out everything around him. And God allows these things to happen. Sometimes he does it that we would experience who he is. That we'd get to know his presence a little bit more. You know what he doesn't do in the book of Job, though, that just frustrates me? He never explains to Job why. Never explains why. He just wants Job to find him. To reach out, to call on his name, to experience him. Storms are hard things. Jesus was in a storm with his disciples. I don't know if you, Mark 4, ever read that passage where they're going out in a boat and they're trying to row across the sea. And a storm comes up and the winds just go crazy and the waves are coming over top and the disciples are flipping out. And you know where Jesus is? He's sleeping. He found himself a nice little nook underneath and a little pillow. And he goes to sleep. And the disciples come running to him and they're flipping out. What is your problem? Can't you see we're about to drown? Don't you have any comprehension of the storm wind? Don't you not understand what is going on? And Jesus looks at him and he says something that, honestly, I don't know how I would have handled it. What are you afraid of? He says. Have you no faith? In the midst of the storms in our life, there's one thing I've realized, and it's hard to grapple with some days, that in the midst of the worst storms, Jesus is still relaxed. And so I don't know what you're going through, but I know that in the panic, in the anxiety, in the fear that we have, that He longs for us to understand He's going to be just fine. And if we would enter into His presence, if we would come to Him, He can help us enter into His rest. One of the things that I have to be honest for you, I have to tell you this and be upfront, that we're promised that when anxieties come, that we don't need to be like the rest of the world. That we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be worried. We don't need to be full of anxiety about our future or what's coming down the pipe. And sometimes we just go, that's just not realistic, Jesus. You simply do not understand the situation I'm in. He does. He says something in Matthew chapter 6 about worrying. And here's the key phrase I need you to understand. He says, if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then everything else we need in life will be given to us. Therefore, we don't need to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When we put His kingdom first, when we strive to be in relationship with Him, when everything else takes its priority behind His kingdom, when we're all 100% in, when we're not laid back like Adam, relaxed, wondering if this whole God thing is really worth it, is His presence something I really want, and we're just sitting back and trying to figure out what we want out of life, when that's our posture, then I guarantee what will happen when the storms come and things come up in our life, we will be full of anxiety, we will be full of fear and full of worry. But when we put His kingdom first, when nothing else matters except for the agenda of God, what happens to us, we get to join with Him and we get the benefits of His presence. We get the benefits of peace that passes understanding. Because when we align with His kingdom priorities, when everything we long for is about what He longs for, then we are assured and we know that we are safe with Him. But when we're afraid for our own life, when we're afraid that we might lose our own stuff, then we will be consumed with fear. We will be full of anxiety. So the question is, are we laid back? Are we like Adam? There's another thing, another phase, another page in our life. So there's the ordinary days. There's the rainbow days when God shows up clearly. There's stormy days. But there's other pages that I've learned. And those are the pages that I have found where I actually choose to hide myself. It's interesting when Adam and Eve, and they sinned, the very first thing they did was they hid. And they basically said, God, don't look at us. Actually, God, we don't want Your presence. We're not comfortable with You here. And so they covered themselves in their nakedness and they were ashamed. And so they prayed a little prayer on the inside, which is, please leave us alone. And there's times in my life, and I'm sure there's been times in your life, when unknowingly you are praying the very same prayer. God, on this page of my life, I need You to leave. You're not welcome here. I don't want You here. I don't want You to see. I don't want You to look. And we ask Him to leave. And you need to know something. He honors that. He honors that. I think it's one of the most common prayers that we actually pray. God, not today. I don't want You around. I'm ashamed. I need You to look the other way. And He honors that. And sometimes we live in that season. We live on those pages and we're doing our own thing, our own way. We're not putting His kingdom first. We could care less about His kingdom. We got our life and we got everything figured out and we're trying to get everything this life has to offer. And we have everything going that we want going. But in that mix, in that little thing, as we're breathing out, we're saying, God, You're not welcome on this page. And He honors that. He says, all right. And then we wonder when the storms come and we wonder when things pop up and we're like, I don't know where God's at and I want Him to show up. But we've been asking Him to stay away. One thing throughout Scripture that I'll tell you today, and this is the hope that we have, is this. We can choose to return. Because it's His desire to pursue us. Thankfully, it's not all about us. It's not up to us. And throughout Scripture, He says, if you would turn to Me, if you would come to Me, you will find Me. I promise. And I have some verses that I want to read to you on that. I don't know if I can put them on their screen or not for you. It says this, Deuteronomy 4:29. If you would then seek the Lord with your heart, with all your heart and with all your soul, you will find Him. It's a promise. If you seek Him, He'll be found by you in 1 Chronicles 28:9. It says that you will call on My name. You will call on Me and you will come and you will pray to Me and I will listen to you. You will seek Me and you will find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. He leaves a gap. Do you desire to have hope of His presence in your life today? You need to know that He leaves a gap. But He promises that if we seek Him, that if we long for Him, that if we call on His name, that we pray to Him, that if we, with everything in our being, desire to be with Him, we will find Him on this page of our life. So I want to end by giving you just a couple things that will help you do this. How do we practically experience the presence of God in our life? What are some things that we can do every day that we would begin to experience His presence? I want to give you a couple really simple ones that assume that this is a strong desire you have, okay? The first one is that we would invite Him into our day. That when we get up in the morning, I'd say one of the best things you can do is invite Him to be a part of your day. God, You are welcome on this page of my life. We invite Him in. We invite Him to come. I think one of the best ways to do that is by spending time in His Word. He promises we'll find when we seek Him. He promises that He has inspired this Word, that He fills this Word with His Spirit. And if I want a Spirit in my life, then I spend time in His Word. I spend time in His presence. We created a little journal, a little, what I call a grow guide, to help you experience the presence of God. We have one at the church. They're at the connecting point. If you want to pick one up, they're like $6. You can pick one up and it'll teach you how to open up the Word and spend time in His presence. To ask the right questions. To ask Him what He might be saying to you today. To ask Him to lead you throughout your day. But if you want to experience the presence of God, I would suggest that Scripture would teach us that we have to go and fill the gap. We have to invite Him into this moment. We have to invite Him into this present time. Whether it's a storm, whether it's just an ordinary day, or whether you're having rainbow days. It does not matter. It is the same. We invite Him on a regular basis. He honors our will. He honors our prayers. If we call on His name, He will reply. So why wouldn't you? If His presence fills us with courage and peace and hope, then why wouldn't you want to invite Him into your day? It's a great way to start. I know some people say, well, that's a lot of work. It's a hard thing, you know, every day. I'm just not a morning person. I'd say, well, all right. But Scripture did say that if you seek Him first, that if you seek Him with all your mind, all your soul, and all your heart, you'll find Him. But if you lay back like Adam, if you're relaxed, if you're back there and you're not so sure that today is the day you need to encounter them, then I probably would suggest that He's not the one going to fill the gap. Do you want to experience Him today? Then reach out. It's just a little gap. He's done everything He needs to do. But are you willing? Acknowledge your dependence on Him. Acknowledge that when you go in this day, that you do not want to do it alone. In fact, that you cannot do it alone. And this is like stormy days. These are good things about stormy days. When we're going through the hard times, we know we can't do it alone. And so it's often God allows stormy days to draw us back to depend heavily, to lean on Him, to go to Him for our resources. So often He's allowed us to go through these things for the very desire that He has to spend time with you. And He doesn't always answer your question. And it's a little bit frustrating. He said to Job, you're coming to me and you're asking all these questions. And you know what He did to Job? He says, I want to talk to you about my creation for a while. Job's like, no. I have a lot of problems right now. But look at the hills, Job. Look at these wonderful animals I made. Job's like, are you kidding me? God says, I want you to know me, because when you know me, you'll be filled with hope. You can trust me when you know me. And when you know me, you know that I'm good for yesterday, I'm good for today, and I got you for tomorrow. So we acknowledge our dependence on Him. We tell Him our concerns. Tell Him what you're facing that day. Tell Him what worries you. Tell Him what's going to cause you anxiety. Tell Him what you're facing, what you're going to go through, what you're anticipating. And it says in Scripture, then cast them on Him. Say, God, I'm worried about this. I'm afraid about this. I can't fix this. I got this problem. But You are here. And so I need You to take these from me. And it cast our cares on Him. Cast our anxieties on Him. Cast our worries on Him. And when we do that, He gives us peace and hope to go through the day. He does. It's a promise. He'll be on that page for you. One more practical thing. And that's end your day with Him. Review your day. Go back through the day. You know, if you haven't found Him on that page, then stop at the end of your day. Spend some time and concentrate. Focus. Say, God, show me where You were today. Where did I miss You? Because if we seek Him and we long to do life with Him, He promises to be there. And sometimes we need just review. Sometimes we need to look back and we say, God, You need to show me today where You were. And you know what? He does. He'll remind you of things throughout the day. I was there. I was in that moment. This is what I did. Here's what I'm about. And the hope is that not only will we start our day and we end our day in His presence, but actually as we do that, you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. What happens is we begin to find Him in the present moment of the day as well. Because we're looking. Because our hearts are now bent towards His presence. And you'll be able to find Him in real time. And you'll see Him in the ordinary. And He'll remind you as you go through the day of the rainbow days. And you'll feel His hands protecting you and holding you in the stormy days. So Dan was talking about listening to God. And talking about journaling. And I would say if you could begin your day and you can end your day well, you will actually learn to do life in His presence in the middle as well. Let me pray for us as we go. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your presence. It's in the present time where we need You. Sometimes we want to look ahead to what You've promised and what You're going to do in our life, but it's the present moment that we find ourselves in worry. And sometimes we believe in You for the future. and we believe in what you've done in the past. But we find ourselves in a present situation, and we need to know you're here. I thank you for your promises that you would not just abandon us, that you would not just leave us and say, one day I'll come back. You did say that, but you said, I'm going to come back. But in the meantime, in the today, in the present, you have promised to leave us your Spirit, an advocate, one who will speak on our behalf, one who prays on our behalf, one who comforts us and corrects us and guides us and helps us understand who you are. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us life today. Even though we walk through the valleys, and we walk through the same things like cancer, we walk through the storms, we walk through heartaches, we walk through relationship breakdown, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do not leave us alone. We invite you today, for those today that need your presence, would you need to, in your act of will, close the gap. Your Heavenly Father has done everything. Everything he can do. Will you desire his presence today and call out to him? He is faithful. He will draw near to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.